This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
1720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my heart and freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Always great to follow a White Sox win. And of course, you know, we're not without our technical difficulties here sometimes. So thank you for hanging out with us. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and we hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. A few weeks ago, we had the pleasure of meeting the editor of CineFem, and she's in studio with us right now, Rebecca
Hi.
Martin. And you told me that you were going to have this issue that the issues have themes, and they're sort of a launching pad for you guys to generate all these great ideas.
Yep. So our latest issue, issue 4, is our double issue that came out today. The theme is Women's History Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month, but our movie theme is A League of Their Own, which is pretty exciting. Good timing for baseball season. It's just interviews with women in film and personal essays about A League of Their Own, and it's very beautiful. We have an illustrator and she does awesome things. So, yeah, very excited.
Well, you know, when I saw A League of Their Own, I cried a lot when I first saw it because I had been playing Little League Baseball from the age of 7 until I started playing girls softball. So I always played on a team of boys and I was always kind of the outsider or sort of the freak because, you know, why are you here? Girls don't want to play baseball.
Okay.
You know, even my dad said he didn't know I wanted to play baseball. He said, you were always busy playing with your dolls. And it's like, I could do both. I was also out playing catch with my cousins.
Yeah.
You remember the doll part, but you don't remember the catch part.
Right.
Do you remember the first time you saw A League of Their Own?
I was quite young. I don't know. It was during the time when like Field of Dreams came out and a lot of 90s movies that had magical aspects to it that made you feel really good.
Yes.
I think it was the music, but I was caught in. I thought Madonna was awesome. So,
and Rosie. Yeah, they were
Rosie,
great together.
They're a great pair. So I just remember really loving it. And then years later, when I revisited, I was like, this is such a good movie. And it just makes you feel good. And also, it's just so empowering for women just to know that, you know, all these women share the same passion and they came together and they're even stronger together and they just lift each other up. And it's just amazing that actually happened, you know, like during the war, like these women came together. So it's inspiring, you know, Women's History Month. So, it's great.
And the film did a great job of capturing how unique it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of the obstacles in the way of all these women, no matter where they were from.
Right.
And I also think that they captured that bittersweet moment. Not bittersweet. It was hard on them when they decided they were going to get rid of the league.
Right.
And there's a line in here. I flipped this open, and one of the writers about this talks about how when men participate in an athletic endeavor, it's an event, and when women do it, it's a show, as though there's something that define, you know, sets them apart. They're not necessarily.
That's Amy Wassney. She wrote that. That's a really good piece. She did a good job, and then it's accompanied by you can't see it, but our illustrator Tavi Veraldi. She did a good job with a Madonna illustration. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is that the double standards, right? Even within the movie, right? They're those that are capable, and then John Lovitz says, "Well, you know, about the character that's played by who's the power hitter in the movie? She ends up singing at the
oh my god, I don't know her name, but she's amazing.
Yeah,
I love her.
Well,
yeah.
But he doesn't want her because she's not pretty enough.
Right.
It's not about being good enough; it's about looking good in the dress too.
Yep.
But Gina Davis and the woman who plays her sister,
Kit.
Say that they're not gonna play if he doesn't
right,
take them.
Which was awesome.
Right.
That was a good
move. That's sort of solidarity.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so much of this was filmed in Chicago, too.
I know. Wrigley Field, right?
So beautifully done.
Yeah,
it is.
I should know that. Yeah. So yeah, it was very, very cool. I know it's the Rockford Peaches, so
right.
That's like, you know, Rockford. But yeah, I mean, baseball, Chicago. I mean, you know a lot more about baseball than I do, but in terms of the film, I just love it, you know.
Yeah, but you don't have to know baseball to love the movie,
right? This is true.
I was surprised by how many people say League of Their Own is one of their favorite baseball movies ever, male or female. I love that because we've had the argument on this show. There are regulars on this show that do not like Field of Dreams, and I accept that. I don't get upset with anybody who doesn't like it. So we asked, what are your favorite baseball movies? And A League of Their Own shows up time after time.
Yeah.
I think it's partly the cast. It's partly the story. Mm-hmm, it's the feel of it, too.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. And Tom Hanks does add a bit to it. He's just, his character is just kind of funny. You know, but yeah, it's a great movie. And I was really happy to, you know, embrace that film for issue 4. And it just, you know, it brought a lot of words out of people because it's a passionate film. So I'm very happy about that.
This is a really beautiful issue. How do folks get their hands on this beautiful issue?
So you can go to cinemafemme.com and you can get a digital issue now for $6.99, and then you can get all of our issues for 2019 for $30. And if you just go to cinemafemme.com, you should be able to see, you know, how to get it. So yeah, and then print copies, stay tuned. We're working on that.
it is a beautiful issue. Yeah, this, and I love that the graphics on this with the Georgia peaches sort of falling all around Dot.
Yeah, and that was Gabby Riscanivo. She is the illustrator. She's from New York, so she did the cover illustration. So yeah.
Now you also for this issue, as you mentioned, it's a double issue. Tell us a little bit about going to Gina Davis's media. She has a whole organization.
Yeah, so I interviewed Caroline Heldman, who is the research director at the Gina Davis Institute of Media and Gender, and it's amazing what they're doing for, I guess it started when Gina Davis was watching films with her daughter, and she just realized that there's just a lack of representation on screen for young girls, especially young girls who want to be athletic, you know, like play baseball or just, you know, the representation was weak. So she wanted to do this institute where they could, you know, do research on representation, bring attention to the lack of representation. And yeah, so yeah.
Well, she's such a good example. Gina Davis is such a good example of that. Mm-hmm. When you mentioned athletic, and even though maybe the movies weren't the big blockbusters or as good as we would have liked, when she played a pirate, there were big, there were high hopes, you know, that that would be a breakout hit.
Yeah.
It was not. Cutthroat Island, I believe, with her and Matthew Modine.
I didn't see that one, but that,
But The Long Kiss Goodnight. Have you ever seen this one?
No.
With Gina Davis? Okay. I recommend, I would like to get your thoughts on it, because it was this really badass woman.
Nice.
She plays a woman who is, I believe at the time when you meet her, she's a teacher, she's kind of the stepmom, she bakes and she goes to the fairs, and then it turns out that she has amnesia and starts to remember her previous life.
Wow.
And
I need to see this. Oh my God.
It's a good action. Okay. I think it's a good action movie.
Okay, cool.
I could be wrong. 312-981-7200. But obviously, Thelma and Louise, a great expression.
Yeah.
And the writer on that screenplay, I mean, that was like her first big film, was Thelma and Louise.
Yes, I think so.
It's pretty incredible.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, this issue, as you mentioned, when you have a theme, it's not necessarily going to be about the entire, the theme isn't going to be the entire collection, but it's inspired, they're inspired by
yes.
it.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about some of the pieces that you like in this issue.
Yeah. So I interviewed this director from the UK. Her name's Anya Camilleri. She's very passionate about telling the stories of women who are in sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. So she did a short film that premiered in Cannes last year, A Girl of No Importance. And it was a short film, but it was amazing in terms of just showcasing this girl who, you know, was running away from her, I don't know, pimp or whatever. And it just shows her running through the streets of Rome. And you just, it's like beautiful. And it's also, you know, so sad at the same time. But she brings attention to these like unseen stories, you know, that people aren't paying attention to. She had said something, and I'm probably going to misquote this a little bit, but like $42 billion is the industry of sex trafficking in the U.S. alone. So there's just like crazy stats like that that nobody is aware of. But this is going on everywhere, you know. So just her film is so powerful, and it's going to be leading to a feature, which will be, I'm really excited to see. And I think it's great what she's doing. So, yeah.
Well, and that's why we have these conversations, is that for, you know, in so many ways, people are impacted when they are part of a story, mm-hmm, meaning if they're mm-hmm. drawn into it. We had a guest on one night, and she was so moved after seeing Leaving Neverland that she has started an organization in order to help people, you know, be aware of mm-hmm, childhood sexual mm-hmm, abuse. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, hopefully, and it might just be, even if it's a handful of people who are changed, who see the world differently, through the eyes of those who are subjected to such incredible suppression and slavery.
Right.
Is something that we need to keep telling those stories.
Oh, for sure. And one other thing I was going to say. So another unseen story is Pamela Green. I interviewed her. Her film is Be Natural, The Untold Story of Alice Guy Blaché. And it's so sad because this woman, she did over 1,000 films that she produced and directed, like in the early 1900s, but she was literally erased from film history. So she was in, you know, in New Jersey during that time with Edison and like those other, you know, she had her own production company. But anyways, everybody forgot about her. So anyways, Pamela Green goes all over the world, pulls her films, interviews these people, and brings her to life for modern day, which is very exciting. So that film is out now. It just recently came out. I think it might just be in select cities, but I encourage everybody to watch it.
Like, that's the name of it again?
Be Natural, The Untold Story of Alice Guy Blaché.
Excellent. And our texters are chiming in. It was Marla Hooch, played by Megan Cavanaugh.
Oh, okay.
Who is the power hitter
in
League of Their Own. And the name I was forgetting, the actress who played Kit, is Lori Petty.
Yes. Yeah.
More conversation with Rebecca Martin, the editor of CineFemme. More in a moment on Cinema Femme on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. You can join the conversation anytime by calling or texting us at 312-981-7200. Again, that number is 312-981-7200. Producing the show tonight, Ro Coleman. So if you're nice to her, I wish they could see the most elegant wave that you have.
It is my sachet wave.
It's a great wave. I like that.
Thank you.
And in studio with us, we have the founder and editor-in-chief of Cinema Femme. We've been talking about the double issue of A League of Their Own that they have right now. You can get it digitally online by going to cinemafemme.com.
Yep.
And and I asked her to stay because I thought it'd be good to have, I haven't dated, I haven't gone on a date with anybody besides my husband, and we don't really call going out to eat a date, although we probably should, so maybe this will help us out. But I wanted to find out, where do folks go to, you know, it doesn't have to be romantic, but Paul, you wanted to clarify something I mentioned about where you take dates.
First of all, I don't know if they call them dates anymore. People like just go hang out.
They just hang out, is that right?
Yeah.
Nobody
That's
dates?
That's what the kids call it. Us millennials call it that.
Ro, do you go on dates or do you hang out? Ro?
Or both.
Ro doesn't want to, she's like, I'm not going to share anything. Okay. Do I not have you up on the board? You're up on the board. Do you not want to join the conversation, Ro?
Of course I want to join the conversation.
Oh, okay. Hi. Do you hang out or you go on dates?
You said, do I hang out or do I what? I can't hear anything.
Go on dates.
Oh, there it is.
Hi.
Go on dates.
She's not even listening to the show.
I'm listening. I can't hear anything through my headphones.
So Paul was saying that millennials don't really go on dates. They just hang out. So
That's not true. Well, okay. I will say this. It's very few and far between.
That you call it dates?
That guy, millennial men like dates.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. I have to tell a guy, like, I'm not going to come over Netflix and chill with you, sir. You need to plan a
sir?
Date.
You call him sir.
I do.
Millennials like to be called sir.
Is that right?
Put some respect on your name.
What about you, Rebecca? Do you find that it's dating or just hanging out or a little bit of both?
So I think there's different categories of dating.
Wow, this all seems so complicated.
There's the category of online dating where, you know, you haven't met each other in person and so you make it super awkward and decide to go to some restaurant where there's a lot of people who are doing the same thing sitting right around you and it's just terribly awkward. So I hate all that. But there's the other part of dating where you naturally meet people that have something in common with you and then you're like, oh, you like movies. Oh, I like movies. Let's go see a movie together and get dinner afterwards. So there's those awkward ones, and then there's the ones where it's like more natural. So I don't know if that makes sense or answers your question.
No, we've had these conversations, Paul. There's fewer natural dating.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
That's funny.
We talk about it with our guests on my podcast, Singles Only, where you are often listening from. But before we get into this location thing, I want to clarify, you do this to me a lot. You say things on the air that are not accurate.
Broad generalizations. Nothing
if we're not accurate on WGN Radio. I don't take dates on to Portillo's. I take people who've never been there before to do the one of everything.
Okay.
Or when if I've had a bad set, there's a lot of things. And we were talking about it last night with Mari DeRosa and I guest hosted last night and we went to Portillo's.
So after the show?
It's just a happy place for me. Yes, aww. After the show. But I would never go on a first date to Portillo's unless they never have been there.
Where do you go on a first date then?
Rebecca was saying, if I haven't met the person, I'm not going to do a dinner. I'm going to do something where it's like a coffee or a tea or something low key where if there's why waste of a meal is a huge commitment of time. So I'll do a lunch. Like if they work downtown, I have an office downtown still. So I'll go meet for lunch or something like that. But yeah, I don't.
That chicken joint we went to that one time was really good in your neighborhood.
Parsons, yeah.
Parsons Chicken. Have you been to Parsons Chicken?
Really good.
That's really good. That's kind of like a fun.
I might make that a date spot.
You can make that a date spot.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, I heard you talking about ramen. I love ramen.
But would you take a date?
I've done it before, and it's not a good call. I didn't think that. I didn't think it through. Yeah. I didn't think it through. But then there's also the comfort of it, too, like knowing that you're comfortable in your own skin.
Sixth date, I would say ramen. Mm. Once you're able to sort of, you know, get over the fact they're going to be slurping and wiping juices off your face.
It depends on the person, right? Yeah, like, first of all, juices off your face. I don't know what you're ordering, Patty. But, like, there's
messy.
A lot of slurping,
You have the noodles, like, dangling off your face and trying to get...
But there's a big bowl. You can hide your face in it. It's a good way to see how people react to stressful situations. But I did it before, and I didn't think it through. Like you said, it was probably a bad idea, but it was enjoyable.
Well, so. And I always think it's funny when women order salad. They say, I order a salad. There's nothing more awkward to eat.
Yes.
There's ramen, and then there's like big leafy lettuce getting broccoli stuck
in your
teeth.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always preface all of my dates by saying, wherever you take me, just understand that I eat like a trucker, and you have to be okay with that.
That's great.
Rose introduction. I eat like a trucker.
Hey.
There you go. So, okay. So, are there good lunch places you would recommend for folks to take downtown?
Yeah. If you're in the loop, there's that that spot that has the hall, Clark Hall, or I forget what it's called. But they have all those different food.
Revival?
Revival, yeah. That's really
that is
cool.
Good. Yeah.
There's a bunch of places. I mean, basic stuff like Corner Bakery is good too. Whatever. I mean, it doesn't really
matter.
About
Corner Bakery. I mean, you just want it to be somewhat memorable, don't you?
Could we get to like Grand Lux?
No, first date. Yeah, I mean, if you're going on a date where you haven't met the person before, it's not going to be memorable. 90% shot, you're never going to see that person.
This is a good one. Devante in Ateca in Little Italy.
That's a good spot.
That's a really good spot.
Oh, okay.
Especially if you like charcuterie or, you know, like a nice cheese board and a glass of wine. And that's not too much.
This is like for a real date. Like when you've met the person, you're like, okay.
Right, that's a good point. Okay,
you've met them in real life or you've gone on like the test run at coffee, tea.
I see what you're saying. So would you say that not in real life, meeting for the first time, then corner bakery, because it's sort of a generic, it feels familiar even though the person you're about to meet isn't? Is that right?
Are we doing setups now? I'm sorry, this is a little over my head as a millennial.
No, like meeting online and now you're going to meet in person for the first time.
But by the time you do that, you've hopefully had a long enough conversation where you kind of sort of know you at least like the personality. I mean, yeah. I guess you could always fake it, but then that's always like, you can also always fake your personality in person. So,
see, online dating is a totally different thing than anything ever before, especially with the new apps that you have.
Because Tinder killed online dating.
You can talk to a lot of people for a while, and then you meet them, and then there's just zero chemistry. You thought you guys got along in person, but the physical, whether they didn't look like their picture or just something didn't happen. So it's hard to commit to like a great dinner after that time, unless you've talked to them on the phone, you've done your research, you follow each other on Instagram and all that crap, maybe.
Paul, have you ever been catfished?
100 times.
What?
Really?
Easily, yeah. Not just, it's catfishing in the vague term where you think you meet someone and it's just not the person that you thought you meet. So,
by the way, there's a site called We Love Dates where they agree with you that there's so many reasons why taking your date out for a daytime meal is a great idea. Dinner dates often come with added pressure from making reservations somewhere nice, to dressing up, to worrying about how and when the date or the night should end. Right? So if you go out for lunch, you're like, I got to get back to work. It's actually how my husband and I went. We went out for our very first date. It was at Clark's in Evanston because he worked at Northwestern. And and then he kissed me. Anyway, well... But it was perfect.
So even back then in the 60s when you guys
back
met,
in the day, and then we went on a date that night. We went to the movies.
Yeah, that's a perfect thing to do.
Right.
But
that's how much you know you like somebody.
The places that people are like, you're going to go on a romantic date. That's probably after like you first met the person.
I agree. Go someplace, and you know what? Clark's was a comfortable, familiar place for both of us. And the nice thing about that is, then if you already know what's on the menu, you don't have to spend time like worrying about what you're going to order. You already have a pretty good idea. Mm-hmm. You like their BLT or whatever.
Oh, I'll do Nookie's too, the breakfast place by my house. I love that.
See,
place.
I think diners are good, like not diners, but like good
brunch or breakfast.
Good spots like that. 312-981-7200. Do you have a place you like taking a date, or do you have a go to spot? Although, if you tell us your go to spot on a first date, then we might come and ruin it for you. More after this. We're gonna check it with our Music Monday guests when we come back on 720 WGN. It is Music Monday, and we have three, not one, not two, but three musicians joining us in studio. Comedian Paul Farvar, you've received 2 phone calls while you ran and got the musicians.
Uh-oh.
Both of them with the same question, oddly enough, and I'm not sure why.
Okay.
Both asking if you were gay.
No, not gay.
I'm not sure why, but there was something in the conversation that led them to, one I believe was interested.
Oh, okay.
And the other one just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Either way.
I get that a lot.
Joining me in studio, we have Matt Fetterman, we have Pino Farina, and Ed Gershon in studio, musicians who have an upcoming show at Uncommon Ground. They're going to be playing individually, but we thought we'd catch up with them. Matt, while they settle in, I should have given them a chance to take a look at the headphones and the microphones. Come on in, Pino.
Hi.
And Ed, so there's a knob right there for your headphones, and if you have any issues, Paul might be able to help you out with that.
Cool.
And Matt, you messaged me a few weeks ago. By the way, I want to see how you're doing. You were incapacitated for a brief time.
I was. I had surgery on my colon.
How are you feeling?
Ouch. I'm feeling really good, actually. It was actually, recovery time was really quick. I was in and out of the hospital in like 48 hours.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, that seems crazy fast.
Yeah, it seems like when you're having your colon operated on, it would take longer recovery. Joining us in studio as well is editor-in-chief and founder of Cinema Femme. Their double issue, all inspired by A League of Their Own, is available now at cinemafemme.com. And she was saying how cool it is to be able to have music on Monday nights. I feel bad. Yeah. You guys are like trying to get your guitars in. We have some time. We got some time. It's all good.
We're used to it. Hurry up and play. Hurry up and play.
I know.
Hurry up and wait.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I exactly. That's how a lot of it is. Now, Paul, you did not bring your djembe, so you cannot join.
I did not. No.
Come on, Paul. I've been waiting to jam with you for years.
I know. I've been playing guitar again recently, just for the record.
Okay.
And, yeah. Be careful with your guitar. He's been just taking other people's.
No, I know the rules of etiquette. I never do that. But yeah, I should have. If I knew that you were here, I should have brought my djembe. I didn't think that through.
Next time.
And by the way, Rebecca, Matt was one of our guests on the Singles Only podcast.
Yes.
And learned a lot about Matt, which was fantastic.
I'm not single anymore.
What?
I can't be on the podcast. Yeah.
You can't be on the podcast. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long have you been dating?
Since September.
Oh, it is a while.
Thanks to the podcast, right?
Thanks. Yeah, I sure.
Heard it.
The podcast, OK Cupid, you know.
Hey, oh, okay.
Now, Pino's like, wait, what am I getting myself into?
Oh,
hi.
No, it's cool. I'm ready.
Hello. Where are you from, Pino?
I live in Huntley, Illinois,
But that's not... Are you from Huntley, Illinois?
No. Well, I'm from Buffalo. I grew up in Buffalo Grove.
Okay.
And my grandparents spent a lot of time there when I was younger in the Lincolnwood area.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Paul knows that area pretty well.
I grew up there for a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Lincoln and Peterson, right there.
Yeah, very specific. Lincoln and Peterson.
That's, well, my grandpa had a restaurant there for years.
What restaurant?
It was called Seven Hills. So it was a long time ago.
I'm trying to remember Seven Hills. Yeah, I've lived in the area. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It was a while back. You were just you weren't even born yet.
You know, that was very kind of you. Hey, Ed, how are you doing?
Doing great, Patty. How are you tonight?
Very well. Where are you from originally?
I'm also from lovely Buffalo Grove.
So, fun fact, we all went to high school together.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Together?
Down and dirty.
Yeah, with 1 year apart each.
Okay.
We were all musicians since high school, and all went on to be in pretty great Chicago bands, but we've never all played together a show ever.
What?
So, well, hold on. Let's slow down for a minute.
All three
of us. So that's correct. All three of us together.
Yeah.
But Ed and I did mingle a bit in post-high school years.
Ed Piano and I have.
You guys were in Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, we were in Guns N' Roses.
Before Axl.
No.
We would do any gigs that Axl was late. They would.
Right. Like, we need 20 minutes. Yeah. Axl's got, he's throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
So Pino, Ed, get out there.
Yeah.
We'd be flown in and just kind of drop down from a helicopter.
And then have to ad lib for an extra 45 minutes.
Yes. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. So tell me about this event at Uncommon Ground.
So, after many Facebook back and forths, like, hey, we should do something together. I finally just said, hey, let's do a date. Let's pick a date. And then we shopped it around to find a place that was available. And Uncommon Ground originally said, oh, we wanted to play the Edgewater location.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, well, the room's already booked. We have someone that may be in there. I said, well, great. Thank you. We'll shop it around. And there's a couple of the venues that would be a good place for it. They came back and said, oh, no, we'll take it. We'll take
it. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah. It felt really good considering, you know, they could have just said no. And tickets have been selling well. I think we're almost at the 3/4 mark sold out.
Nice.
So it's May 11th at Uncommon Ground in Edgewater.
Excellent.
And we're doing a Songwriters in the Round kind of Nashville style thing. So we're all going to be on stage at the same time, kind of taking turns, telling stories about the songs we've written and interacting and just having a fun little 2-hour show.
Which is what we'll do in just a little bit coming up after the news as well.
Perfect.
Excellent.
And you, so you're originally, I didn't realize you were originally from Buffalo Grove then.
I'm from Lincolnshire, but we all went to Stevenson, which is all.
That's a fancy school up there.
It wasn't then. It was not fancy then.
Yeah.
Well,
it was not as fancy.
Not as fancy as now.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Stevenson
campus.
High School?
Yeah. It's like a, crazy.
I was a cheerleader at St. Charles.
Okay.
So we went there sometimes. So I remember it briefly, but
yeah. It got very fancy. I remember I did like one of their arts days. They hired me as I had like, man, that was some sweat and bullets, Paul. Like trying to perform, not just to do like doing clean comedy is one thing that, you know, that's manageable, but clean comedy for 15, 16 year olds who are just bored. You know what I mean? Like exactly. Yeah. Have you ever had to do a high school class?
I sure have. And that's when you realize that clean comedy, like, oh, it's clean and high school, so I can't talk about drugs either, right? You're halfway through a bit, and you're like, wait, I probably should.
What you guys don't realize is in the 90s and into the 2000s, was when they got this great idea at all these high schools. It was to take the post prom groups to comedy clubs. So we would. Did you ever do this?
No.
Oh.
I wish we did.
So these are the students whose parents signed them up for something where they wouldn't be able to drink, where they, you know, would avoid hopefully having sex that night. So the pressure was on us, me and Vince Moranto and Larry Reed. That was the show.
Oh, nice.
Like, you know, we just have nothing in common with these teenagers talking about our married lives and right. You know, whatever other stories, and you can just feel like the we want to be anywhere else but here.
Yeah,
that's why. And that's
make us laugh, lady.
Well, that's why music with like they should hire like bands like just, you know, here's an after party,
and that's what they do now.
Is that what they do now?
No, I don't know.
You know,
and after that, they said, yeah, we're not doing this.
Yeah, anymore. No, they still do it all over the country.
Really?
They rent out. We were at Vernon Hills, and they rented out the whole club like a midnight show. Oh, it's just.
Well, that's got to be a while ago.
I should write a song about it, Matt.
You totally should. I'll help you.
Matt can help you with that.
Help me with that.
That's when Pino and I get to go in as Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
We'll open up for you guys.
Fun
really,
fact.
Really,
we'll warm up the crowd.
Speaking of Guns N' Roses, Patty didn't know who Guns N' Roses was.
Okay, more after this on 720 WGN. I know who they
what
are.
What now?
It's On the Round, an evening of music and storytelling with Pino Farina, Matt Fetterman, and Ed Gershon. We'll find out more about that because they're going to play live music right here in studio. But you can catch them on May 11th at 8 p.m. at the Edgewater Uncommon Ground, 1401 West Devon Avenue. But we'll have some live music and hear a little bit about what they've got going on for that performance. You know you want to hear the Steve Cochran Show as he celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here with your news is Vic Vaughn.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
It is Music Monday, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio coming up on May 11th at Uncommon Ground in Edgewater at 1401 West Devon Avenue. It's In the Round, an evening of music and storytelling, and we're thrilled to welcome all three musicians with us that will be appearing that night. It's Matt Fetterman, Ed Gershon, and performing now is Pino Farina. Do you want to introduce your song, or...? Because I know it's a little bit of storytelling as well.
Yeah, so, well, this song is called Say Goodbye to Mexico, and it's basically about an incredibly selfless woman in my life, and she has let go of a lot and kind of given up a lot to do other things and to help other people. So it's very... I'm not good at talking, Patty.
It's okay.
I love you
no.
so much for having us here.
Oh, my pleasure.
And Matt's a good guy for inviting me here tonight. So this song is called Say Goodbye to Mexico. We have a studio version coming out very, very shortly, and it's a much more produced version than this. This is like me doing a cover version of the studio version. So here we go. Say goodbye to Mexico. Oh,
can't get a grip. Oh no, no, you can't get a grip.
Yeah. Oh, the reverb is working, by the way.
It's working. Cheers to that.
That was Pinot Ferrar.
Sounded awesome.
That was amazing.
Thank you very much.
Say goodbye
very
to Mexico.
Very Buckley-esque.
I love Jeff Buckley.
Patty
one of my heroes.
Yeah. I don't know who Jeff
Mine
Buckley
too.
Is.
Yeah.
Do you know who Jeff Buckley is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Let me Google it.
Look at Matt's face. Just get... Axel and the Guns.
No, you can't.
Axel and the Guns.
You can't get offended.
Jeff and the Buckleys.
By the way, my husband won't play any music on Google Play anymore because we're doing Patty's appalling lack of musical knowledge live at at Nerdfest. And so what we do is the contestants have to listen to a few seconds of a song and decide whether or not I will know the artist and the song.
Okay.
And most of the times people can't believe that I won't know the song. So I, yeah, they.
Or the artist.
Yeah. They're appalling.
No,
it's appalling.
It's like you're faking it.
I'm not faking it. So Steve, because I got Heart the other night, right? Barracuda. Did you hear me? We were playing.
I know what ones. I know by now which ones I know you know now. The ones that I don't know are the ones that are like, oh, we haven't. This is an area of '90s that we haven't covered.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, Jeff Buckley is.
I can never distinguish like Depeche Mode and like some. I know it makes it look at how much. I mean, I when I hear it, I'm like, oh yeah, it's not, I guess I could be Depeche Mode.
Well,
but
Matt
I don't
made
know
the same
other
face.
Game.
I
he
made.
Did. I mean, he like physically imploded upon himself.
Musicians, we're just kind of shy. I mean, for me, Jeff Buckley is one of my top five artists of all time.
Agreed.
That was very Buckley-esque. You can tell that you're inspired.
Believe me, it's like in total respect. Like some, I know like really hardcore Buckley fans, they might actually almost feel alienated or like I'm like trying to like rip him off. You know what I mean? And it's, to be honest, it's like the utmost respect. And like he's just opened up a world vocally for me it just sort of like just open up a world where I'm like, hey, I can sort of do other things with my voice, you know, and like so, definitely one of my heroes. Absolutely, I'll never.
And everyone is always going to be inspired. Your inspiration is always going to be seen in your art. It's just the way it is, even with comedy and everything.
Sure.
Raised as Scott Moorhead, he was an American singer, songerwriter, and guitarist. I'm sorry. Did you know his name was really Scott Moorhead?
I did, yeah. I've read like four biographies on him. And I went to his house. I went to Jeff Buckley's.
Oh, you did?
Were you invited?
Were you invited? No.
They let you in?
No. His last house when he lived in.
Oh, how tragic.
Tennessee.
What happened? lost him.
Yeah.
What happened?
He drowned in the in Mud River.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is horrible. Why'd you tell me about this sad story?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, he's now like an icon. I mean, he's.
Yeah.
You should know him. Now you do.
1994 album, Grace. Patty, you like it. He covers
Hallelujah.
He covers
Hallelujah. That's the
one
you
most
probably
famous
know.
Thing.
Yeah.
All right. The new book, Jeff Buckley, From Hallelujah to the Last Goodbye. You just can't get over how I just don't. I have no idea who this is.
Well, whatever. We can talk about Jeff Buckley another day.
Well, you know what? Before we go to the break, and we're going to hear more music from our friends Ed and Pino and Matt. They have an event coming up at Uncommon Ground on May 11th, and that's going to be at 8 p.m. It's In the Round, an evening of music and storytelling. I also wanted to, because we have our good friend, the editor in chief and founder of Cinema Femme. Have you seen Boys to Men?
Boys in the Hood or
Boys in the Hood. Boys to Men's a band.
Boys to Men's a band.
I don't know their songs either. but they use the number Boys in the Hood, yes.
No,
sorry.
I haven't seen it, but the newer one that I think was based on that film. I'm probably wrong. What was the Ice Cube movie?
Oh, that
help me out with that. No. Okay. No, I haven't seen it. I'll just leave it.
I would recommend
Boys in the Hood is amazing.
I would recommend Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
Because I was reading a lot of sort of essays today from folks who had, you know, come of age in the 90s and had never seen a film that reflected so much of their culture. Even like some folks that grew up in Chicago, here was this movie about these LA gangbangers or trying to grow up in the neighborhood where there was a lot of violence. And Boys in the Hood broke a lot of new ground. You know,
it was, I remember watching it and I remember it was one of the first movies, like when it ended, I stayed in the theater. I was like, wow, that was an amazing movie. And it's still one of my favorite movies.
And it's hard to believe John Singleton was only 22 years old when he made Boys in the Hood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Young genius. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now he has passed away.
51 years old. That's insane.
He's
It's very disappointing. It seems like there's a lot of celebrities, especially during his time coming up, that are passing off more recently than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And he was so groundbreaking. He was the first Black director to ever be nominated for an Academy Award. His other films include Higher Learning, Poetic Justice, Baby Boy, the action film Shaft, and he also directed Rosewood, which was a huge film when that came out as well.
Some of the greatest films out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to take a moment to talk about John Singleton. Rosewood's a great movie with John Voight, Ving Rhames. God, that was a good movie too. Sorry. If you're not familiar with it, it's about this town of Rosewood, a small and predominantly Black town in Florida, and it's kind of I would recommend that movie as well, just if you haven't seen a John Singleton movie. And I'm sure Nick D will have a lot to say in just a little bit after my show. We are hanging out in the studio with Matt Fetterman, Farina. Because I was about to find you on Facebook, and I started typing in the first half of your name, and then I got distracted.
Oh.
It's Pino Farina and Ed Gershon. Am I saying your last name correctly?
Yeah.
Yes, what, Paul?
I just want to make sure everyone knows they're playing at the Uncommon Ground in Edgewater, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes, on May 11th. More music when we come back. It's Music Monday in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It is Music Monday. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Coming up on May 11th, it's In the Round, an evening of music and storytelling featuring Pino Farina, Matt Fetterman, and our musician up at the mic now, Ed Gershon. Here he is with Take You Back Home.
Every now and then I will join you, join you in the confidence of love, one that warms the darkest days, pulls apart the bars. You're fine along the way. Hey, let me take you back home. I'll take you back home. I'll take you back home. To borrow time. See, it can't be replaced. It's an urgent deed, not a falling grace. And if you think a wisdom has its place, then walk with me, let's join all space. Find along the way, let me take you back home, take you back home, take you back home. If all of the sorrow that burdens us begins to stare again, and if learning to live is learning to let go, for along the way, oh, let me take you back home, let me take you back home, take you back home.
take you back home. Let me take you back home. Take you back home.
Ooh, let me turn the reverb off. I got a little bit.
That was awesome.
Thank you very much.
Edgar Shawn. Yeah, he's part of the In the Round on May 11th at Uncommon Ground in Edgewater, 1401 West Avon. And that's he'll be joined by Pino Farina and Matt Fetterman. Yes, Paul?
No, I was going to say, now that sounded a lot like David Hidalgo of Los Lobos. Do you get that a lot? Have you ever heard of that?
Bruce Hornsby? No, I greatly appreciate that.
Patty even knows Los Lobos, too.
I've even seen them perform live at the winery.
Yeah, look at that. Wow. I knew that was coming, too. See? She's got some knowledge. But it sounded amazing. Yeah.
Beautiful song.
Yeah. I feel like I'm on a panel of American Idol. You guys are both going on Common Ground on May 11th. We're May 11th. Both of you guys in.
You can't see me at home, but I have that yellow pass.
All right, cool.
On Common Ground.
Now, we were talking earlier about good places to go on a date. I think that going to see In the Round is a great way to spend an evening with
a
date.
Absolutely.
You know, it'd be a great way to sort of, it's got a great vibe, you know, wonderful sense of community and people who love music. I think it's a great way to go spend an evening on a date.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Better than the front row of a comedy club.
Please don't do that. I don't know why people take it, especially a first date.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be well into your relationship. You have to be able to talk about the show afterwards rather than, like, you know, there's always something that's going to go wrong if you take a date to a comedy club that you don't know very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would wait till deep into the relationship.
Yeah.
Just so you know each other well enough.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there, so that's
you've gone to a comedy club as a date?
I guess.
What happened?
Well, the guy was a lot younger than me, and they made it a thing. We were sitting in front, and they were like, "So, why are you going out with this older woman?"
No!
and they were called him like a baby and stuff. And I was like, I feel really bad. And then the guy who was like, I don't know, the head comedian,
headliner.
So he like gave me a hug afterwards because he knew they were so mean to us.
What club did you go to?
It was in New York.
Okay.
It was,
good. I'm glad it was New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It was the Cellar one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was that one. They were horrible. So yeah, I'm right there with you.
And as a comic, like, I mean, not that I've never done it. I just try not to fall into the trap of the easy or like going after somebody in the audience.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
It never makes me feel good.
When you say going after, there's two different. I don't insult them, but I definitely talk to them.
Yeah, you have a different way of doing it. It's so funny because there are comics who are like, I never grew up making fun of anybody. I never like really teased anybody. I grew up as an only child, so I just don't have that skill set. I think that if you have siblings, you develop thicker skin. Mm-hmm. You can dish it. Hopefully, you can dish it out and take it. I don't do either one of those things. I also don't take it very well. I don't at all. Do you ever? You've never been heckled when you've been playing music, have you?
Usually by friends.
By friends, yeah.
It's the free bird, you know, in between every song.
Free bird is the heckle.
That's true.
Petty knows.
It's like enough.
I was heckled at one point.
Were you?
That was me.
It was not too long ago.
Wait a minute.
To be clear, for those people listening, and Patty, Freebird is a song by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Good point.
I know who Lynyrd Skynyrd is. I just wouldn't have guessed.
It's a common joke. It's like their heckle.
Yes, no, that I know that. And they have a lighter.
It's a long, long song.
The tomato, like you don't want to. You don't want the tomatoes thrown at you, so the free bird's like the tomatoes.
Does every musician have to know free bird just in case?
No, usually my standard response is no charge.
Oh, yeah. Dear. I'm glad that you showed me rather than but everyone just saw you live stream. But I think it's okay.
Flicking the bird.
Paul just had a question about this on Facebook, actually, on social media. Why do they call it flipping the bird?
It doesn't even look like a bird.
It does, though. Why is that?
It's like a peacock or like a
chicken.
Now I gotta
Google where did the bird soar high.
I already found out where it came from.
Because of what?
Nothing. No. Spotlight. Uh-huh. I said, is it because birds fly high?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping the Bird.
Now I have to find it.
Google.
Why do they call it?
It's from, I Googled it after because people were all giving their different, it's a stupid reason. But the fact is, it looks more like a turkey or like a peacock, if any bird, when you do that. And those are the birds that don't really fly, so it doesn't.
The phrase "flip the bird," referring specifically to the one-fingered salute, arose in the 1960s. The obscene gesture itself is far older than that, though. The ancient Romans called the middle finger "digitus impudicus," or the impudent finger. Huh. Okay. I feel like we learned something less tonight. More in a moment on 720 WGN. By the way, the ancient Greeks also associated the penis with birds, Paul. Although there's no evidence that they ever refer to the middle finger itself as a bird or as someone flipping the bird. I'm just, this is another piece of useless information that I just found. It is, in fact, tidbits. We have more music coming up after the news, and you want to catch our friends Ed Pino and Matt as they perform in the round at Uncommon Ground in Edgewater on May 11th. Is there a website folks can go to, Matt?
I believe it's uncommonground.com, and you can just look under the music schedule, or on Facebook, just look for Pino, Matt, and Ed at Uncommon Ground, and
excellent,
you'll find it.
And don't forget to pick up your copy of Cinema Femme. This double issue this month is a League of Their Own edition, and some great stories in here, and wonderful artwork too. I love that.
More
conversation with our guests when we come back. It is time now for our news. Here with everything you need to know is Vic Vaughn. Saturday, May 11th. It's In the Round at Uncommon Ground in Edgewater, and it's featuring Ed Gershon, Pino Farina, and Matt Fetterman. Matt Fetterman is stepping up to the microphone now.
Hello.
Hello, Matt Fetterman.
Hello.
You were one of our earliest regulars.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry it's taken so long to get you back in the mix.
It's okay.
All right.
I want to come back with some fun.
It's good to have you back. And what a great idea to do a Nashville style, you know, singer, songwriter.
Totally. Well, we were talking about trying to do a show together, and there's so many times you go see a show and you go see the person you're there to see.
Sure.
And then you leave when they're done.
Oh.
And then by the time, if you're last, you're only playing for the people that came out to see you. So let's do a show where we're all on stage together at the same time, having fun together. So everyone stays and experiences new music, and it's just a much more fun evening.
I love the idea of that. What song are you playing for us?
It's a song called Girl on the Beach.
Here's Matt Fetterman. Did you want to say something else?
I was just going to say this is going to be the first single off my record that's coming out this fall.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank
Here you. Is Matt Fetterman.
I must say this working man is tired of putting in the effort that's required. For all the pain I've been through and all the trouble I've seen, seems nothing's ever static anymore. Resigned to live a malaise life while finally accepting Occam's knife. Well, that the simplest answer is the better one. So I must be a broken son, a stone's throw away from giving up on love. Well, here I stand, a better version of myself, with some new gray hair and the truth to guide my way. I used to think that hope for love was out of reach, until I saw the girl on the beach. Dead-end street to an open road, unraveling in front of me in gold. Well, though risk can equal painful setbacks, gotta keep my journey on track, just trying to find more meaning in my life. Well, here I stand, a better version of myself, with some new gray hair and the truth to guide my way. I used to think that hope for love was out of reach, until I saw the girl on the beach. Well, your critics say most things can't last forever. It's a lesson learned in life, and life's taught me well. Because up till now, I've walked along all half-act, and I'm guilty of not grabbing life and making it my own. Well, some days feel like forever, and some people just feel like home. Well, these days I often spend my time just longing for a partner in crime. Someone to smile and love me, someone fresh and lovely, someone to love me and my flaws. Well, here I stand, a better version of myself, with some new gray hair and the truth to guide my way. I used to think that hope for love was out of reach, until I saw the girl on the beach. Until I saw the girl on the beach.
Aha! Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's Matt Fetterman. I threw my reverb off over here. That was outstanding. Again, a Night in the Round at Uncommon Ground in Edgewater, featuring Ed Gershon, Pino Farina, and Matt Fetterman, who just played live. All three of them performing tonight. You can hear, if you miss any of it tonight, you can catch it on our podcast.
So perfect.
Yeah, it'll all be available.
Perfect.
Anywhere you listen to a podcast, on Spotify or iTunes, subscribe to the podcast.
Ooh, I like that.
Leave us a message. By the way, one of our regular listeners who's supposed to be listening to the show on podcast because he's been having trouble sleeping, Paul from the 301 says, well, if I'm going to have difficulty staying asleep, at least it's one of your wonderful Music Mondays. To your musical guests, thanks so much for sharing your talents.
Aww,
so that was very
awesome.
Nice. All the way from Maryland.
I also agree. I thought that they were all talented gentlemen. The third artist sounded a lot like Matt Fetterman. And
I was thinking reminded me a little of Indigo Girls.
Yeah.
No, the funny thing is, on my first record, I covered Closer to Fine by the Indigo Girls.
Great song.
And that's my number one download on iTunes and Spotify to this day.
Really?
Every month I sell copies of that.
There
I think
go.
It's because the only guy's ever covered that, so I'll take it. They're crazy talented ladies.
You should take it. You're also going to Uncommon Ground on May 11th.
Yes,
all three of you guys are passed.
Uncommon Ground, May 11th.
Excellent. And by the way,
this is why I don't dress up.
Got trapped. I told her she could come back in here while you were playing, but she refused to believe me. She's like, I just need to go grab a glass of water.
Another one stuck by the door.
Oh no! We've got to. No, you're not the only one.
No.
We've got to put.
These guys did too.
We have to put push. Well, because there's a handle on the outside of the door, so intuitively, at every single door, I think on the floor, because they're all heavy soundproof doors. They all have handles on both sides. Mm. So I mean, I had one guest put their foot on the side of the they were just trying to pull so hard to get into the studio.
For
so
sure.
You're not the first. You're not the first or the only, and you will not be the last unless I put push. I think I have to get a stencil and just. Or maybe just a sticker. I know. Do you think the station will get mad at me? Well, now that I've said it out loud on the air, they'll all know who did it.
They'll just do it.
Well, in some instances, I am a ask for forgiveness and not permission kind of gal, but I'm becoming more of a ask for permission kind of person. It just seems like the safer way to go. Now, you need to get back on your microphone, Matt. You say goodbye to all your good little friends on Facebook Live. Well, mostly because I want Pino to be able to have a microphone as well. Because we were talking about how I think this would be a great way to go on a date is to go to In the Round at Uncommon Ground on May 11th. Mm-hmm. We haven't finished our list of unique places where people go on dates. Have you ever taken a date bowling, Paul? You're not a bowler,
are
you?
I did go. That was my first. I did a first date with that with somebody bowling.
Yeah.
And that ended up in a relationship which lasted the typical 3-4 months.
She's
my ex. She's my ex, and we're actually really good friends still. And I actually talked to her. Yeah. Well, we both couldn't think of something to do.
Uh-huh.
We met in real life, though. That was before all these new dating apps, and we were like, let's, I just threw out bowling as a, like, just like, we're not bowling, because someone was talking about it recently, and she's like, all right, and we both were like bored after like the eighth round, what are they called?
Why am I blanking?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't bowl.
It's not hole. That's golf. Frame.
You win.
Yes.
So, ding, but, ding, ding.
Yeah. And then we. That's it. And then it was a great date. It was fun.
Ed, are you single or married or dating?
I'm single.
You're single.
Yes.
So where do you go on dates when you have the opportunity? Like, he's like,
bowling.
I don't.
It's usually like a brunch thing.
Brunch seems to be pretty popular for
dinner,
everybody.
Yeah, you know, something like that.
You seem so very excited about the. You're like, for dinner if we have to.
Dinner.
I'm looking at some interesting ideas. But see, you don't want to do like an adventure date on a first date. You know, like, well, we know.
Why
like,
not? My yeah. first, I had the be best fun. First date I ever had is a guy took me to iFly in Rosemont.
That was one of the ideas, is iFly.
Oh, it was amazing.
So you like
Plus,
that.
Plus, it's right there in that campus.
Rosemont thing.
Yeah, the Rosemont campus. So it was a nice summer day, open drinking, you know, stop at the sugar factory.
Wait, you don't go drinking and then go to iFly. Do you know what iFly is, guys?
No, you go to iFly first.
That.
It's and like then you can suspend it in the air.
It's an indoor parachute.
The wind tunnel thing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I've always wondered. I've been when I was dating. That was the $25,000 question. On a first date, you kind of want to make it and have an easy out versus having like plans
yeah.
all set.
Oh yeah, no, I agree with that.
Like that
yeah.
would scare me. It's like, we got iFly and we're doing this. Oh, never mind. I don't like this person after 5 minutes.
Yeah,
three more hours together.
I hope they turn the tunnel off and they just fall.
No, that's like when you know them already.
Kidding. That's when you already know them.
Yeah, right. I agree with Matt.
Yeah, I think that...
Matt learned from the Singles Only podcast.
So, I learned a lot from you, Paul. Thank you.
Well, we've also decided that ramen noodle's not a good first date. Not a first date.
I don't know. I don't regret my decision, and I think it was kind of fun to see who's comfortable in their own skin to like slurp up ramen.
Okay, all right. I guess I could see that. How about you, Pino? Are you single or dating?
I'm married for about 17 years.
17
yeah.
years?
Yeah, my high school sweetheart.
Look at you guys all, you're like,
so
yeah, that
know,
guy.
I don't know much about first dates, so
I
tell you.
I've been with the same person for 24 years. Yeah. So, yeah, you and I miss the swiping, swiper
oh,
no
yeah.
swiping.
Like Tinder and all that. I don't know any of this stuff. What's going on? No idea.
Matt's got a daughter, so he's laughing at the Dora the Explorer reference.
Absolutely, swiper no swiping. It means a whole different thing when you're 40 and single.
Oh, yeah.
No idea.
Well, the thing is, and I've mentioned this before, dating is like gambling. You either get a jackpot or you get a crackpot. And so, and it's not.
Speaking of which,
yes,
our podcast that I released tonight with Greg Kennedy, he, not a crackpot, but he went into great length of detail about his crockpotting.
Yes.
It is one of my favorite episodes of Singles Only. So if you haven't listened to it, it's actually
was I there
really
for
fun.
That one?
You weren't there.
No, I wasn't there for
funny.
The crackpot.
Crockpot.
Crockpot.
Crockpotting.
Oh, it was crockpotting.
You said crackpot, and it reminded me of crockpot. Okay. Now it was the first episode. I learned more about crockpotting in an episode of Singles Only than I had.
I didn't know you could make crockpot into a verb.
Yeah.
He was crockpotting.
Potting.
Yeah. I just did.
I love it.
Is he talking about making pot?
No,
because some people use their crock pot in order to bake their pot.
He's like a legit in love with his crock pot.
Because crock potting sounds like how you might make some recipes with your cannabis. So it's not crock potting.
Ed knows nothing of this.
No.
Ed is remaining silent right now.
As his lawyer, I'm telling him not to talk about his crock potting.
Crock potting.
His potting.
I have been cooking pork shoulders lately.
Have you?
In a crock pot.
Oh.
And did that ever come up as a
it
recipe?
It did, yeah.
I was going to say, are there any good recipes on this in this thing, Paul?
It's a, listen up. It's a good tease to get people to listen. Singles Only available on iTunes, everywhere you podcast.
Do you crock pot, Rebecca?
No.
No. So
I don't, you know.
I have one, but I've never used it?
Mm-mm. Oh, that's not a bad thing. I like
short
my crock pot. Yeah.
Short ribs in a crock pot.
Well, now, so are you only a crock potter, or do you also like the Instapot?
I don't have one.
Me neither. That was like a big thing about a year ago. Everyone
What's
had an
Instapot.
It just cooks things faster.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a speed round version of crock
exactly.
It's like stove, crockpot, oven.
Right. It does all these different things. Right.
No, I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's what I use personally.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I don't need a crock pot.
Well, there's like also an air fryer now too that people have, like this air fryer. Oh yeah, it's an air fryer, and there's a Cuisinart that you could buy that has a toaster oven, and air fryer. And my friend has it on her kitchen counter, and it's very intimidating. There's a lot going on there.
Is it so large? 2011.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's about the. I mean, yeah, it's about this big on your countertop. Huh. But rather than like, if you want to make French fries, but you don't want to fry them, you just, you know, it's
pop them in the air fryer.
Exactly. It's supposed to be healthier. Mm. Yes, Paul. How is your toaster oven working out for you?
It's still in the box.
You haven't taken out
the greatest thing. Yeah, I gotta get that. I don't have any food. I haven't gotten food yet. So. I don't have anything to toast. But I made a list of things that I'm going to use in the toaster oven, and I will put them in my Insta stories, and thank you for giving me your brand new oven. Toaster oven.
It's one of those toaster ovens that you can actually, you can top load toast, or you can close the top and then use it as a toaster
or
oven.
Or bagels.
And you can make bagels.
The picture shows
that's
bagels.
Fancy.
It's like the Cadillac of...
It is the
toasters.
It was so. My husband and I had one for our wedding when we got married in 2000, and that one burned out. We got another one just like it, but it had two slots, so it had enough for like a lot of toast and bagels. And then that one broke, and we ordered this one, and then I forgot to return it, and the time was up. It was not what we wanted, so I gave it to Paul. Mm. Yeah,
but I had.
Well, I told him I was doing.
I had a similar toaster oven from the 90s that my parents gave me in 1995 that died about 5 or 6 years ago. And I never got one, so I never really used it other than to like make certain things that you buy in the front, you freeze and then put it in there that you couldn't microwave.
Do you have any other appliances?
So, like, now I can.
Do you have a toaster oven?
I don't really cook so much. Yeah. I get a lot of Thai food delivered to my apartment, so I'm really not
so much easier.
I'm sorry. I wish I could be more.
No. You're not. No, but I think that's more the trend. I go to Paul's house and all he has is like
fun of me.
He has like whiskey and Frango mints. More after this on. Oh, that's not
I
bad.
I'll go to your house.
I know, it's pretty good. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI,
on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me.
Something good is pretty simple. You know, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, if you've been stuck in traffic or you're looking at your bills, there's always something, I hope, that you can be grateful for. And ours is mine's kind of corny. My husband's going to be like, what are you talking about? But we needed to upgrade our television reception. I don't know how to put this. I guess I should just tell you, it was DirecTV, and the folks that came out to help us today to make the switch over did a really it was so much faster than I remember any of that work being done. And the guy was really cool, very helpful. And one of the reasons I feel good about it is that now my mom can watch whatever she wants, because it was her receiver that burned out. And we were just hanging in there hoping that, you know, because you keep looking for solutions. Do you cut the wire? Do you, you know, cobble together a bunch of different, you know, like streaming services? So finally we decided to go with that. And I think it went really well so far, except it's hard to change, isn't it? It's hard to, you know, when you have like the different like menus and the different remotes and all that stuff. But the guys were really cool that came over. They were on time. They did a great job. And we're all very happy. What's your something good, Paul?
Just looking forward to a lot of cool shows going out of town. I'm going to be out of town for all of May, going all over. I'll be in L.A. You'll be in L.A. at the same time I am next week.
Yep.
I got an episode of Everyone's a Lawyer with all the former champions this Sunday at Laugh Factory at 9 p.m. and then off to L.A., San Diego, Arizona, North Carolina, Arkansas, Oklahoma.
Wow, you're getting around.
May is going to be a long month.
It's going to be very busy. You can go to Paul F. Comedy for Paul's schedule.
Check out where I'll be.
Find out where he'll be. Hey, Matt, tell me something good.
Something good. Well, I think for me today, something good would be the fact that after almost 25 years, I get to play music with these two gentlemen here.
That's sweet.
And I'm looking forward to making more music with them. So, and thank you for letting us come on your show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Facilitated this. This is great.
Great to have you on for Music Monday. Now the pressure goes to Ed. Tell me something good, Ed.
Yeah, I'm going to tie it in. I've known Pino for, we've been friends for many years. And so... he's staying over tonight. Which will be fun.
Yeah. Cool.
It's good to sit and reminisce about playing music in a Denny's parking lot which is where we used to play like
oh, really?
A long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Summer nights.
Yeah.
So. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Pino?
Something good. Well, I'm on a radio show in like one of the largest cities in the This is fantastic.
Isn't this wild?
With these two guys right here.
I feel the same way.
I can't believe it. And with you, Patty.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of great shows being booked right now through the whole summer, which I never thought would really happen. So I'm really excited for all that as well.
And
so.
the guys will all be at Uncommon Ground on May 11th for In the Round. And you can go to the Uncommon Ground's website or follow these guys on their social media. That's Matt Fetterman, Pino Farina, and Ed Gerson. And how about you, Rebecca, the editor-in-chief and founder of Cinema Femme?
Yeah, today has been really good, I would say, for the most part. Before this show, I had our issue 4 launch party at LG Bar. And so, yeah, it was good. Just people that were my close friends came, and then, you know, some, you know, film people like directors and film critics and stuff. And it's nice to have people who support you. And I'm very happy I'm here, and you guys, you're letting me talk about my magazine.
Oh, my pleasure. And go to cinemafemme.com for the latest digital issue of the magazine. How about you, Ro? Tell me something good.
Something good. It's going to be a great summer. So we talked a little bit, Patty. I'm not going to say too much, but the organization that I started up, it got some things coming this summer. We're going to be able to throw a couple events and get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yay. Here's something good, by the way, wrapped in teasing us a little bit from the 815. Oh, you silly gooses, Instapots and toaster ovens. I used to sew my own clothes. The machine broke. I went without for a few years, decided I must replace my machine. This was the second winter. The brand new machine has sat in the unopened box. By the way, you are my something good tonight. Thank you, 815. See, that's so nice.
That's very nice.
You know, in the middle of the night, just having conversations, hanging out with each other. And Paul, I was hoping for some more suggestions for where people can take a date in Chicago.
From me?
From you. We talked about bowling.
Bowling,
we talked about some ramen noodles, I think, on the sixth date. I think that a first date's too soon.
First real date, concert's the way to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Concert's always the way. Because you can talk about it afterwards, and you can see what kind of music they like, too. Because if they don't get into the same kind of music, that's usually, for me, not a deal breaker, but it's definitely strikes a flag.
Matt, you seem to disagree.
Well, yeah. I'm more of a coffee and some unique experience or environment. Like grab a cup of coffee and go walk along the river walk, go do something, but not be stationed in one place where you're trapped. I mean,
that's
concert's great, but I just, you can get in and out easily.
Yeah.
At least that was my experience.
All right. Got it. Obviously. And more good tips from our panel tonight. Got to take a quick break here, and then we'll wrap it up and turn it over to, I thought you said take a break here. Come on. 60 seconds of the break? I could take a break and then talk for 60 seconds after that.
We got 30 seconds now.
What?
We take a time. Now we're just bantering.
By the way, coming up tomorrow night, we might be on time. There's some speculation as to whether or not the White Sox will be able to play their game because of the weather. So either way, we'll have John Tatey. We'll have Andy Choi on for Tech Tuesday. We're going to talk a little bit more 5G. They have a documentary where they feature the first person to ever send out a tweet using 5G, which was me. I did that. That was, very
nice.
Excited. It was very exciting. And then I was kind of hoping I would be like their, who's the woman that does all the progressive intro? I want to be their flow. That doesn't sound right. All right, more after this.